Well, it would be awfully nice to be sitting in the broadcast booth at Four Winds Field on Thursday. It was scheduled to be opening day for the South Bend Cubs, taking on the Lake County Captains, but that, of course, has been put on hold. But we can still dream about baseball right around the corner. The Lansing Lugnuts, they were getting ready for their season opener on Thursday. They were going to be in Comstock Park against West Michigan, and then they were going to come to South Bend next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We look forward to having Lansing in town, as always, and the voice of the Lugnuts joins us right now, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. He is, without a doubt, all broadcasters will say this, the nicest guy in the Midwest League, and he is the voice of the Lugnuts, the Midwest League affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse, it's great to catch up with you. How are you?
Darren, it is so good to hear your voice. It is social distancing, but it's also distant socializing.
That's exactly right. Good to have a chance to catch up with you for a couple of moments. Let's just start by asking this simple question. Without baseball right now, how have you been keeping busy, and have you been doing some things to prepare for whatever that season was going to start or is going to start?
I have a new baby who is born in late December.
Congratulations.
So I'm working very hard on being a father.
How is the diaper changing going?
Practice makes perfect. I'm really good.
That's awesome. What about baseball? Are you doing anything baseball related right now?
Well, several different things. With the Lansing Lugnuts, I'm in charge of all social media and messaging. So it's very much looking to see what everybody else is up to. It's seeing what can we do. So it's looking back into our past, into our archives, and really delving back into the memories and telling stories, reaching out to everyone who's had a hand in the team's franchise history, which is now going into 25 years. And then it's very much, yeah, what is going on with the Toronto Blue Jays, our parent club? What's happening with everyone else? So it is staying in touch with what's going on in the game today. And we just lost Al Kaline, Mr. Tiger.
Yeah.
So me living in Michigan, I've been reading up on Kaline's career.
Jesse, this is Sean. Congratulations, first of all, on being a father. And I guess, you know, Darren and I were just talking about this plan that came out today that Major League Baseball is working on to possibly get the game going again. All 30 teams playing in stadiums with no fans in Phoenix. What do you think about that?
I think that there's a lot that could go sideways. I appreciate them saying, we would love to have baseball back, and if we can't put baseball back in the different cities throughout the nation plus Toronto, what else can we do? Can we play baseball games in Arizona? Can we just get everybody here on the field? I just think that there are a lot of different questions. As Darren said, the different things that you might have to ask, if COVID-19 invades, there are a lot of people who are susceptible. There are older coaches. There's everybody else who is involved in terms of the clubbies. So I have worries that go beyond the baseball itself. I would love to see baseball, but I think that right now baseball can wait until everything else is taken care of.
Very well said. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts in the Midwest League, our guest on WSBT Radio. Well, whenever opening day is for the Toronto Blue Jays, Jesse, I was wondering your take on what the season could be like for the Blue Jays. Obviously, they are in a very difficult division with the Yankees. The Rays are so good at making that team successful with a limited budget. The Red Sox are a little down, but we know the power of money can bring them right back into the equation very, very quickly. How do you think Toronto sits right now in the AL East once baseball resumes?
I think that their signing of Hyunjin Ryu showed that they actually want to compete this year. But the Red Sox are very vulnerable entering the season, and not just the trade of Mookie Betts. It feels like the Red Sox are going to take a little bit to regain their footing. And then the Yankees continue to suffer such a spate of injuries. When you couple that with the Orioles are never going to compete, I don't know when the year comes about when they're going to try to figure things out again, but it's not soon. There's the chance. And with the two wild cards, there's very much a chance. So bringing in Ryu, and then you understand Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. should be a little bit better, and then a little bit better after that. Danny Jansen, the young catcher, should be a little bit better. They've got the pieces moving in the right direction.
I'm curious, you know, you mentioned a couple of those guys like Bichette, Biggio, Vlad Guerrero Jr. was there when you were there with the Lugnuts as well, with such good young players like that. Who maybe was the most impressive while they were there in Lansing when you were doing the games?
It was Bo Bichette. Kevin Biggio was not with us for very long, and he wasn't that great yet. It took him a little bit in the minor leagues to figure things out, have the light bulb go on. With Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he was just so young that he was doing things that you could understand. His mind didn't understand how he was doing them. The pitcher would throw the pitch, and he would crush it, and he'd go, "What was that?" And it was a baseball prodigy at work. But what I loved about Bo Bichette was he understood how the pitcher was throwing him. He understood what he needed to do to counteract that, and then he could execute. And I wish that we could boil that down for every single hitter. Say, what is the pitcher's attack against you? What is the other team's scout against you? How are they pitching you? Okay, what are you going to need to do? What should you do? It's pretty simple. It extends to every single sport. What do they want to do? So what do you need to do? And he actually figured out how he could do it, execute it, and that's what made him so good.
Well, the next question's got to be about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Jesse, you had a chance to watch him and Bichette together in Lansing, and I don't know if we have ever seen more excitement about a prospect coming to the majors than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. There was so much hype. I would have to think, Jesse, there was a ton of pressure on him. Toronto fans have been waiting a long time to get Guerrero Jr. with the Blue Jays, and Toronto held him back just a little bit. Can you give us a sense of maybe what Guerrero went through in Toronto with all those expectations? And you got to know him a little bit. Is he a guy that easily handles those type of moments?
Yes. Because to him, he simplifies everything, and it really is just about baseball and having fun. So the moment wasn't the trouble. He didn't understand failure. He didn't understand why things weren't going right. And things weren't going right for a number of different real reasons. For one thing, he's still very reckless on the bases, and out on the field, he's not that great yet. What he does is he hits. So if he wasn't contributing with hitting, then he's hurting the team in other areas. Okay, so you expect him to hit. What's he going to do at the plate? He had put on weight, and that had restricted his mobility. That had restricted his ability to swing the bat. So he worked really hard this offseason to improve his core strength, especially his lower body, his hips, trying to get stronger there. And what he was doing a lot was, because he hated to strike out, when the pitcher got to two strikes against him, he would simply put the bat on the ball and put it into play. And what they emphasized for him is, no, you have the hand-eye coordination that you can still hit the ball hard with two strikes if you understand where it is. And we know that you're not going to chase a pitch outside the strike zone. So the emphasis for Vladdy in this offseason was, if the ball is put, if the ball is low, if the pitcher's working in the bottom part of the zone, don't give it away. Don't play into the pitcher's hands and just put it into play and roll it over to the second baseman or the shortstop. Do something with it. So it was very much a learning experience. And you consider he's still only 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
Jesse, Kevin Biggio was not a power hitter when he was here at Notre Dame a few years back, but he hit 16 home runs at the big league level last year. And I know his power went up as he progressed through the organization. Why do you think that his power has been able to take off so much as he's continued to go up levels?
I think he does what his team needs him to do. So with Notre Dame, I think he simply fulfilled exactly what the Irish wanted of him. And then working his way up to the Blue Jays minor league system, what he realized was, because he was able to drive the ball and because his batting eye is so good, he really only needs to swing at anything that's right there in his wheelhouse. He can take everything everywhere else, and because the umpires are getting better and better, he doesn't have to chase. He'll draw walks. And so that ability to never chase and only barrel within the zone, once he started actively looking to drive the ball, well, the baseball at the AAA level and the major league level, we'll see how it is this coming year, but it's a jumpy ball. So if you look to uppercut it, if you look to drive it, those balls were leaving. And so Kevin, with this new batting game plan, arrived into a great hitting landscape, and it all worked out to his benefit.
Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, our guest, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, the Midwest League affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. And Jesse, you're a part of a venture that has been kind of percolating the last couple of weeks, and now online people can vote on basically who has the best lineup in franchise history of the 16 teams in the Midwest League. Give us a little background, how the idea came about, and just kind of your thoughts looking through some of the teams. And as a baseball junkie, just are there some fun teams that you've come across now doing this particular bracket online?
To answer your very last question, yes. This is a Tyler Parsons idea. Tyler is the general manager for the Lansing Lugnuts, and we were brainstorming just different ways that we could have fun as we waited for baseball to return. Well, one idea he had was, I was putting together a Lugnuts all-time team for our 25th year, and he said, well, why don't we ask everybody else? They probably have their all-time teams, or at the very least, it wouldn't be hard. Mm-hmm. Why don't we run a tournament? Why don't we actually see everybody's all-time rosters in the same spot? So this has been a joy for me, the fact that you can look at the Peoria Chiefs over in the Western Division, and among their best all-time players, that they would have Greg Maddux on the mound, they'd have Yadier Molina as their catcher, Josh Donaldson and Albert Pujols as the corner infielders, Javi Baez at shortstop, DJ LeMahieu at second base, and onward. That the Midwest League has this kind of background, this kind of history, with all the stars who've come to the league, it's a tribute the Midwest League's history, and the kind of talent that we've seen. In South Bend, for example, that Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez and Justin Upton and Carlos Gonzalez and all of these great talents came through. We should remember this, and we should celebrate this.
You know, I'm thinking, Jesse, and I have not went through all the teams looking for this particular nugget, but I would have to think that Lansing and Quad Cities, they've got the only father-son combination on these lists.
Those are the only ones that I see. We'll see if there's any others that might have slipped by us. But as I just pull up the roster, there are so many stories that pop out here and there. Like, for example, the Burlington Bees have Paul Molitor playing shortstop for them. Oh.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, and just a team like Clinton, who's been around a long time, even though there may not be some big, big names on the offensive side, although Matt Williams is there, Mike Socha, Gorman Thomas, but I was looking at the top three starters in the rotation. How about Oral Hershiser, Dave Stewart, and Denny McClain? Wow.
The idea of the generations. Because they've got James Paxton, Big Maple, who just threw a no-hitter at the back end of their starting rotation. But we go back. Denny McClain, the last 30-game winner in the major leagues, and then Oral Hershiser, who my very first baseball memory for me, the earliest that I can possibly go, was the 1988 Dodgers beating the A's. Because I was so convinced that the A's would win. I hated the A's. They were the favorites. The Dodgers were the underdogs. That was my first thrilling memory as a sports fan, was watching Oral and Gibby beat the A's. So, yeah, there's Hershiser at the very top with Dave Stewart, a member of that A's starting rotation on that same Clinton staff. Oh, as Clinton had some players come through.
Yeah. Jesse, what is the best way for people to check out these lineups and also vote in our 16-team bracket?
What I'd like everybody to do is simply go to MidwestLeague.com, and you can find this on the rest of the Midwest League team's individual websites. There's a link. But if you go to MidwestLeague.com, there's a link front and center that brings you right to the poll. We're running the first round all this week. So, for example, the Lansing Lugnuts, my squad, are taking on West Michigan. Darren, I don't think that South Bend should have any trouble with the Lake County Captains. I think you're going to move on. But it helps to get those votes, and then
the
second round will be next week.
Yeah, our offense is really good. The starting rotation may not be as big time as some of the other teams, but I'll take that offense. I'll take my chances, that's for sure. Do me one favor, Jesse, if you don't mind. And Sean is a huge baseball fan, broadcasted Notre Dame baseball. He's done some South Bend Cubs as well. Tell him what you do one time every year as a broadcaster for the Lansing Lugnuts. I don't know if anybody else does it in minor league baseball, but I just think it's an awesome thing to do each year.
Sean, I recreate a game, a live
game.
I use sound effects. I use bats. I use a baseball and a glove. And while the Lugnuts are playing whomever they're playing, I sit somewhere where I can't see it, and my broadcast partner messages to me what's going on, and I slam a ball into a glove, and I say, just a little high.
So it's like Bull Durham, correct? When the bull, in the movie, when the Durham Bulls are on the road, that's exactly how the broadcaster did it.
Hitting the sticks together and the whole thing.
Yes, my thinking is to understand where you're going, you've got to understand where you've been.
Well,
that's awesome. Are any of these on YouTube by any chance?
I have put every single one of them on SoundCloud. I can make sure that the links are easily, but it's, yeah, all of that audio, every single one of those games I've made sure is accessible.
I just think it's so awesome. I just would hope it would not be a four-hour game, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do. And I just think that is a wonderful idea, and it has to be unique to the Lansing Lugnuts. Well,
Darren,
Jesse,
back in 2008, I called a no-hitter and had to interview the pitcher, but I didn't see him throw the no-hitter. So what could I say?
You're kidding. I didn't know that.
Holy cow.
Do you wish you would have been able to see that, or is it extra cool to kind of do it in that fashion?
Best game I've ever broadcasted that I have no idea what it looked like. So I think it's better that I didn't see it.
I didn't know that story. Wow, that's really, really cool. Well, Jesse, great to catch up with you, and we encourage people to go to MidwestLeague.com. Check out the all-time rosters. It's really cool to see all the great players that have come through the Midwest League through the years and vote in our 16-team bracket. Again, we're in the first round right now. Jesse, thanks for putting together this particular Midwest League Madness, and always great to talk some baseball with you. Hopefully we can do it in person very, very soon.
I look forward to it. Darren, Sean, thank you guys.
All right, Jesse, be healthy, be well. We'll talk to you soon. That is Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, the Midwest League affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I didn't know he called a no-hitter in that fashion. That's
amazing.
That is pretty doggone cool. All right.
Of all the games he could have picked to, you know, to decide to do a recreation, it's a no-hitter. Man.
If it was an 11-10 game, I don't know if I would have the patience to do that throughout the entire ball game. But do you know the scene I'm talking about in Bull Durham where the broadcaster is sitting in the studio and he's got like a mallet and he hits a piece of wood like the ball hitting the bat?
Clunk the wood together, yeah.
That's how he does it. It's pretty remarkable.